B-Pod Studios.
The Felger Mass Podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
To me, the whole thing with the finger under between the legs, antiquated.
Archaic.
And weird.
I mean, the whole thing is freaking silly.
It's Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, heard that different things happened after the game. There were some exchanges. But, you know, I just think that, you know, Wick, everybody else wants to win. And they were embarrassed.
What were the exchanges you said you heard after the game?
I just heard that, you know, there was just a run-in between people in upper management and with the players. I don't know any more than that. That's just a rumor that came through. But it didn't really matter about that with Wick, what happened with him. It was more about what the players did on the floor and how they responded.
Wow, management and the players. So you said that there were run-ins between those two that were fairly tough conversations?
I don't really know. I just heard. So don't quote me and say, "Oh, Max said they ran." No, I didn't say that. I just heard that people said there was a run-in. That's all I could get out of that.
So that was Max after that game 3 loss. We now found out in The Athletic that Rick Grosbeck snapped in the locker room. Like, good for him. But I think it speaks to a bigger issue with that team that came out today with the Brad Stevens press conference. It's just the whole experience down there is too soft, too positive, not demanding enough. Which isn't to say they're a bad organization or poorly run. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they're just always looking on the bright side and accentuating the positive to a fault. And I think there is such a thing. Murray, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the Celtics culture. We know what the Heat culture is. That's established. That's why they've gotten to the point that they did this year with limited talent. The Celtics thing, it's just kind of like too happy. And I don't know. We'll figure this whole thing out. What, you're going to continue to make tweaks? Like, you made the tweaks last year after you failed in the finals. You bring in a couple of players, so you get some, you know, late-game scoring off the bench, and Malcolm Brogdon and Gallinari. Gallinari hurt all season. We know that. So what? It's just going to be more tweaks? No, it's time for, like, a real change here. Even if I think it's minimal, like, move on from Marcus Smart. Something has to happen here.
I mean, you don't just win by showing up because the other team implodes when they see the logo on your uniform. And they don't just lose by showing up in your building. It's like, that's how they play. They play like there's this you know, thing that comes with the uniform that guarantees a win in a big game. You gotta actually win it.
You have to take it from
someone. Correct, absolutely.
I haven't quite figured that out yet. To your calls, Anthony in California. Go, Anthony.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. I just want to point out that I think both Stevens and Mazzulla got their jobs by default. The Celts didn't want to eat Stevens' contract when he was going to be replaced, so he ends up putting in a position that he's not qualified for. Mazzulla should clearly be fired, but he won't be fired because there's $13 million remaining on his contract.
So I'm going to stop you there. So Mazzulla, we've been over a million times. Should we discuss Stevens?
Yes.
And his fitness?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Again, the caller's right. He got promoted into the job with no experience in it. And I'm not telling you he's going to suck at it forever. I don't think he does suck at it per se. I mean, again, he made good additions to the team. What has he cut out? What has he cut out of the team? What has he done to look at his own team and say, this isn't working?
Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
Easy, I know. Easy.
I know, but does that one even count?
I mean, I'm just, you asked.
Like, you're talking about a guy with a bad wheel and a huge contract.
I understand. What tough calls he made?
None.
That was not a tough call.
Yeah, none. He hasn't made one. It doesn't exist. And so now, I don't know, and the guy he learned under, and I say Ainge wanted to win every trade. So, you know, I don't know, does he have this warped perspective of how to, like, you know, build rosters and what to cut out?
He doesn't hoard picks like Danny did. I'll give him that.
So I think he's done a decent job just in the nuts and bolts of it.
I mean, the Derek White trade was nails.
My issue with him, again, is tone. And what tone are you setting throughout your organization? I think it's just more look on the bright side, happy horse crap, which they don't need right now. And that's my issue with them. I think he's made several really good moves.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the moves. I'm talking more about the thing you're talking about. When you cut someone out, that's tone.
Thank you.
Okay, that is, no, we're not happy with this person. We're getting rid of him.
It's a, Maz, it's a great point. Boy, does this team need something like that.
Yes.
They need to get rid of someone to show the locker room, this isn't good enough, and you're next.
Right. So you got to, there's got to be, now, for all the crap we give Belichick, Belichick does it.
Oh, my God.
But probably to a fault, in fact, but at least he does it. The Celtics, with Stevens, it hasn't existed.
Paul in the truck. What do you got, Paul?
Hey. I was looking at the list of available point guards for next year. The list ain't too attractive, but one name kind of stuck out to me in filling, like, the Celtics
just go
holes that
who,
they
who,
had.
Who is it?
Russell Westbrook. Oh,
thank you for the call, Paul. Thumbs up, thumbs down by the panel. Russell Westbrook.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down, Stu.
Gross. Okay. No.
So that's a no, caller. Thank you for the suggestion, Brian in Salisbury. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Good. What do you
I
got?
I think the main thing that. The main thing this team lacks is grit, right? Balls, especially in the toughest of times. I think we need to get rid of Marcus Smart because all he wants to do is be the hero. He wants to hit the big shot. He wants to make the big steal. He doesn't want to play a role. We need the ultimate tough guy role player in Draymond.
Okay, to the panel. Thumbs up, thumbs down, Draymond Green. Marcus Smart for Draymond Green. Maz is thumbs up. Murray is thumbs up.
Reluctant thumbs up.
Stu?
No, I don't want Draymond Green. Draymond Green also doesn't want to be here because he hates you. He hates the Boston experience.
Yeah, okay, but different question.
Yeah, give him some money. He'll be fine.
Yeah, so look, and when I say yes, it's not the toughness, the you know, the grabbing onto a ball for the jump ball. It's the attitude.
So let me tell you this. Let me tell you how I answer it. Do I want Draymond Green? Not really. Would I take him over Marcus Smart? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If I can only, I have to have one. I'd rather have Draymond Green than Marcus Smart. I think Draymond Green does a better job in his role than Marcus Smart does in his. How's that?
Do you think Draymond Green's complacent?
I don't want either of them. I don't. I don't think he's complacent. I think he's also, you know, I love the stuff that he does with you folks. Like that I'm all for. What he did to Jordan Poole is
bad.
I mean,
you read some of the stuff this year. After
it's
this
borderline
season.
Criminal. I mean, he assaulted him. Like that was garbage.
Yeah, it tore that team apart.
Right, so he takes it too far. So I don't want him like necessarily.
But of the two,
but I don't want Marcus Smart.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't got to worry about Draymond Green shooting the last shot and jumping in the coach's chair. I don't think unless he does. Is he jumping the coach's chair? He might. I don't know. They're cut from the same cloth. I just think they need a change. So what I really want is Marcus Smart off the roster. If it means I have to have Draymond Green back, I guess I would do it. Brandon in Boston, quick.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So basically what I got from, Brad Stevens is that we're content. We have no interest of getting better. We have no interest of getting a championship. So guess what? Joe Mazzu is here. You're going to have to go through his growing pains as a coach. And guess what? We're making no changes.
Okay, well, I got that too. I don't think that there was any appetite today that signified – I'm sorry, there was no signal today that there was any appetite for change. They want to get better. They want to win. Like, don't be silly, Brandon. Of course they want that, but they don't. They want and believe it's going to come internally by growth and motivation and those sort of things, which at some point you just have to acknowledge what you have isn't good enough or there's something not right about it,
mm-hmm.
And they're not there. They're not there, and they're not wired to get there. They're just the whole thing is look on the bright side and accentuate the positive. So it's really hard to identify what we're doing wrong when we're just supposed to emphasize what we're doing right. And that's, I think, they had that with Ainge, too, frankly. He's such a positive, over the top, with this thing. And it's not serving him right now. Charles in Dorchester, go.
Jim's list yesterday was spot on. I think it's a great template for understanding the Celtics. I hope you guys can recap that again. That being said, I agree with his number one point, which is Tatum is a fake superstar. Can you guys put into perspective where he is in reality, not like perceptually, but who he's a little bit better than, but not as good as past or present?
Confused. Yeah, it's a little confusing. I mean,
I think he's like Durant. You know, he's infinitely talented, but I don't think he's like the alpha to get it done by himself or with like he's the 1A and you have a 1B.
It's a good analogy.
I think it's great. And Durant's championships were incidental. He had to airlift himself into someone else's DNA and makeup and championship squad, and that's how he won it. But he's not the guy to win it on his own as the lead guy.
No, it's a good one. I mean, it's a good analogy.
Durant, supremely talented, and I think his game is similar. Like, I think he is Durant. And unfortunately, maybe even with the off-the-court or intangible heart and balls thing, too, with Tatum. More of your thoughts coming up right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Ready or not, it's more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
3-2. Swinging a high fly ball center field. Backing up. Senzel almost all the way to the wall. He leaps up and he's got it. And that's the ball game. A deep drive by Devers all the way to the center field fence. Red Sox again, no come up short for the second night in a row. They lose by one to Cincinnati.
Yeah, just tough loss. And, you know, they start, you know, that one inning that started with the air that killed them. And that's something that they've been talking about. Got to clean up the defense. Let's try to go get that win tomorrow.
And I think on the open that we talked about consistency, and the two guys that came out of the bullpen, Crawford and Minkowski, were most of consistent guys in the bullpen, just didn't have the good stuff tonight.
I don't want to see anybody else from the NL Central.
Red Sox minute. It feels like every time I have the time, I turn over the Red Sox, you know, have a couple days, I just turn them on, I just watch them. They blow. So I just continue to think that they blow. Mm-hmm. I've watched the last two nights.
Oh, have you made your declaration? We've passed Memorial Day.
Yeah, they're better than I thought they were going to be, which is so gross to say because
mm-hmm.
they're on pace now for 83 wins, 84 wins.
Correct.
And I had them at 78. So they're better than I thought they were going to be, which it sounds like that's a positive thing to feel good about.
It's not.
This is the problem.
Yep.
The expectations are so low, just being okay, it makes it feel like they're overachieving. But I think they blow. But maybe they're just a little bit better than that. Either way, is there any reason to watch this team, Mass?
Candidly, no. No, again, and I know you hate that because I think you generally believe that we don't discourage people from watching.
I understand.
So, like all of that, and I understand the philosophy, and I'm not telling this message to the diehards, you know, the hardcores, because those people are going to want to watch no matter what. So, and I respect that. That's fine. I watch. I tried to watch last night, to give you an example. But I would tell you, honestly, if you are a casual fan, there's no reason to watch this team. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just telling you there's no reason to.
Right.
And you've increased your, I'll call it the focus on them in the last few weeks, right?
That's right.
7-13 in that span.
Yeah, it's like I don't see it.
Okay, with good reason. It's not there. And I'll tell you, I think the worst, I've come to the conclusion, I said some of this the other night on the baseball hour, I've come to the conclusion this is the worst possible scenario for them. They are one big saltine cracker without the salt. They are just boring as hell. White bread, white rice, just boring as hell. They're not good. They're not compelling. They're going nowhere. End of story. And I think, like, you go back and look at the whole thing and revisit the whole thing. I'm not sure their young guys are getting better. For a time there early in the year, I did. Again, we do a daily talk show. So early in the year, I thought there were some signs that maybe some guys were coming out of it. And Rafael Devers, what'd you sign him for? What'd you sign him for? To have one guy with $300 million so you could say that you pay people?
He's not even going to get an all-star nod. And do they have one player on this team that's going to get one?
But he's sort of on my list. It's like, who am I tuning in for? Am I just thinking about, you know, Paxton Crawford's the starter. Like, what? You ever tune over for Paxton Crawford?
Cutter.
Cutter.
No. I'm sorry. James Paxton was the starter last time. I'm sorry. Yeah. James Paxton is what I meant to say. James Paxton is the starter.
You're making a Frankenstein monster of their suck.
No, Paxton Seriously. Crawford was a real pitcher.
He
for
was.
The
no, I know. I don't know why I said that. James Paxton was the starter last night. It's like, oh my God, talk about your white bread, white toast, like classic.
Yeah, again, reclamation project. Guy that you picked up off the scrap heap because he was hurt. You didn't have to give him money, so now he's pitching.
Never mind. Okay, so then what am I looking for in the lineup? Like, what, going into the year, I said, this lineup, how's this lineup going to score? And I know that they have, and they've hit. But
Yoshida?
So Yoshida is definitely worth watching and has been a hit. And it's like, it looks like they nailed that one. The kid can hit. He can play. He's even made some good plays in the field. Like, that feels like a ball player. Like, mm-hmm. that's a little, I'll pause for his at-bats. But who else? You know, Devers, he's hitting .246.
Correct.
Made another big error last night that led to the game-winning rally for Cincinnati that I saw.
Their defense sucks.
Just threw it in the crapper from third base on a kind of routine grounder there to third.
And the night before, Hernandez did that.
Has Devers gotten any better defensively?
He did last year. I mean, he played well defensively last year. This year, I think he's probably been masked a little bit by the fact that Hernandez has played so poorly at shortstop. He's been the worst defensive player in the big leagues, I think. Hernandez has. So I think there's been a regression in Devers overall, to answer your question. But again, like, I sort of look at it and say, well, you have a star caliber player. So I don't think Devers is the kind of guy, like, look, I like watching him hit, but I don't think he's the kind of guy that gets me to just sit my ass down and watch. Because he's not, like,
electric.
Yeah, he's just not electric, right? He's a good hitter, a terrific hitter, but he's not the kind of guy that's like going to hit it in the run the bases well. And there's not
flash defensively.
He's not that kind of guy.
He's not athletic,
right? And so now you spend, and I'm not criticizing them for the signing, but I'm saying you spend $30 million on a guy for and don't put a team around him.
So has Duran come back to earth?
Yes.
Has Wong's come back to earth?
Big time.
Right.
Yep. So Valdez, he had homered last night, has also come back to earth. They've all come back to earth.
Offensively, they're down, so they're not scoring like they were scoring. I know they put eight the other night, but it was kind of, at the end, plastic runs, if you will. But I don't know, it doesn't feel like they're scoring. Their pitchers,
their bullpen's gone belly up. They're starting to blow games. They blew one last night. The rotation's been a little bit better, but they went 4-5 on the road trip. They pitched well on the road trip. They went 4-5 because they didn't hit. They scored 25 runs in 9 games. So fewer than 3 per game. So there isn't enough there for you to sink in. At the end of the day, Mike, unless you have, you know, and even Mike Trout, like, let's say, unless you have Ronald Acuna Jr. and you can watch him every night because he's just a dynamic talent, or the kid in Seattle, Rodriguez, the center fielder. You have a dynamic young talent like that. This team, you need to win. You need to win. And they don't win. Not enough. There's nothing there. It's empty. The whole thing is empty. Like, I've reached the point where I say, I'm not sure when they're going to be good again. I don't even know when that's coming. So now what? Marcelo Meyer, I'm supposed to wait for him? Okay, I'll wait for him. Fine, no problem. He just got to Double-A. So we're talking maybe we'll get a little glimpse at the end of the year, but realistically not before next season. What's he going to be like as a rookie? Is he going to be like Tristan Casas? Are we going to get that? Am I going to have to wait 2 years for him to figure it out? So it's the only way I can put it to you. I can't tell you when they're going to be good again. I have no idea. None. My confidence in them is so freaking low, it isn't funny.
I just feel there's just not much there, Maz, as you just said.
Zippo.
What's there? It's just above 500 and in last place.
Right.
You know.
28 and 27.
And losing. And look. So I guess this is the analysis. I watch them in the Cincinnati Reds, and I say this is, I'm just watching an NL Central game, which I watch a lot of, frankly. Like Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Cincy. Like, it's all sort of the same swaggy 500, nothing there kind of crap.
4A baseball.
It's really, and I just see anything different between you and Cincinnati or some of these teams that you're playing.
Because there isn't. Cincinnati's they're within a few games of 500. I think they're 4 under.
They are 3 under right now.
Okay, they're right there.
Yep.
I mean, they're the same thing as you. So the congratulations, you're now in the NL Central. That's what the Red Sox are. Big market team in the NL Central.
And now it's just like, you know, this is always sort of it used to be worse when baseball was bigger, but there's still something to it, like where there's people like me where, okay, Celtics are done. There's a lot of nights off now. You're just a sport dork, so you flip on a ball game. That's me. I'm always, you know, whatever. If there's nothing on, I watch the women's softball. Like, I'm just that guy. So I always got a game on, and so now it's the Red Sox. And I'm sure there's at least a few other people like me out there. And I watch it. I'm like, there really isn't much of a product here. I really don't know what I'm watching.
No, there is no product. Again, so now there's nothing else going on. And in fact, there wasn't even a Stanley Cup game or an NBA Finals game on last night.
Right. Oh
my, the Red Sox were quite literally the only show in town. 2.7.
That was a TV rating.
Yeah. Saying. Yeah. 2.7. And that is high for them.
Yeah. What's the demo?
So the demo number is 25 to 54. They did a 0.8.
Under a one. That is just so bad.
0.8.
Among the living. Against nothing. Zero. Not even a NBA Finals. Not even a neutral.
Nothing. There was nothing on last night. Nothing. 0.8 in the demo.
That's brutal.
It's non-existent. I'm telling you, they're in Rev territory.
Well, the Revs were on last night.
Okay. Ish. Define yeah. on.
Yeah. You can catch them here.
Log in.
Yeah, Apple TV.
Log in, download, authenticate. Yeah, I don't consider that on Apple TV. If they were on NBC Sports Boston like they used to be, that would have been, they would have given the Sox a run for their money. The Revs can do a one in the demo.
Definitely.
They have a little bit of a younger audience.
No, they're in Rev territory.
That's Rev territory.
Get revved up.
Well, anyway, there's your Red Sox minute. Did you enjoy it? Back to your phones after the
that
update.
That was my ode to Adam Jones.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more of the show that gets Boston home. Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On that note, do you feel like you guys were too reliant on the three-point shot in those at the end of the playoffs there, knowing that that shot wasn't obviously there for you at that?
You know, from my standpoint, my goal every time down the floor is to get a great shot. And obviously, I would love for that to be a dunk. Everyone in the world would love for that to be a dunk. We had trouble getting by that first line of defense with all the help and hands and activity, right? And so that takes away some of that. And then you hope that you're skilled enough and you know, you have a, you know, you're able to take advantage of open looks. And there are some looks that are great and some looks that are a little bit more forced and contested, and that's probably every game. But I'm more focused on what's a great shot, not, hey, we need to do this or that. You know, it's, can we get dunks? Can we get to the free throw line? Can we get open threes? That's how I evaluate a game. And then for me, the way I've always looked at it is which team towards the end of that series is getting more their, like the looks they're getting are more in their wheelhouse of how they're generating them well and everything else. And I thought Miami did a really good job in Game 7 specifically of generating what they want and keeping us from getting what we wanted.
Hi, Maz, how'd you read that answer from Steven Smith?
Well, he said it's, you know, he wants good shots. It doesn't matter if they're threes or not. I think that flies in the face of what Joe Mazzulla said. You know, you take too many threes. No. Well, you do if they're bad. And the other thing he said that I thought was, a contrast to what Mazzulla said is he was asked about the series with Miami. And he said, you know, we got to go back the first three games. We didn't play well. Mazzulla completely dismissed looking back at the first three games. So I thought there were at least two instances there, which I was happy to hear, where Stevens offered a differing opinion than Mazzulla. Like, that was encouraging to me. I would hope that Mazzulla is going to listen to Stevens. Mazzulla might have just, when I say listen to him, at least hear him out on these things. It's possible that Mazzulla was just being stubborn and, you know, no, I'm not going to look back at the first three games. No, I wouldn't change anything. Like, I mean, let's not be ridiculous. So, but that one in particular, of course you'd take dunks if they're there all night.
I don't know.
Wouldn't you take, no, but I mean, you should is what I mean. You
right.
should. So I don't know, is there, like when Steven says that, part of me thinks Mazzulla just took it all too far. So, I'm not saying that organizationally they don't want to shoot threes. I think they do.
I think what they want is dunks and kick out threes. That's the most efficient form of basketball.
But bad threes do you no good. Like, and I think under Missoula, this particularly down the stretch, they took bad threes. And so I hope that they have some intention of fixing that.
Back the three-point attempt rate is the most important stat in the game of basketball.
So we didn't get that. You're right. We didn't get that today from Stevens. So hopefully that signifies something. Adam and Canton, what do you got on Stevens?
Guys, if the players are in the film sessions emphasizing defense, they're in timeouts emphasizing defense. I think Brogdon said it yesterday. Their defensive focus this year was different than last year. And then Stevens comes out and says, let's talk about the truth. We were number two in defense. I feel like he's saying the players are full of crap, and I don't know if that's the right approach here.
Oh, my God. I wish he would say the players were full of crap. I don't believe that at all. I believe what that was just putting a positive spin on everything because that's what they do down there. They put a positive spin and look on the bright side of everything. And that's what I think Stevens was doing. I don't think he was calling out his players at all. I don't think they call out players down there. It's not what they do. It's just the opposite. So I disagree with the motivation there of Stevens. I think he was just trying to say we actually were good defensively. But it does fly in the face of how the players felt. The players felt they let go of the rope too much defensively. So maybe there's just a disconnect down there.
I mean, that's really spelled out in that athletic story, too. Like the fact that the players looked at it and said, they basically said to Missoula, you've gone way too far with this.
Wayne in Yarmouth on the Sox. Go ahead, Wayne.
Well, Maz used the words boring and empty earlier in describing the Sox. And you know, unfortunately, so far this year, that's exactly right. But guys, it not only exists on the field, but in the booth. This mix of commentators is also in need of improvement. All they do is make excuses for and they fail to call players out for bad play. It's not what we want. It's not worth watching right now. It's got to change.
So I think they blow. Euclid, and I like Wakefield as much as anyone. And not that I know him, but he seems like a good guy. I hate to dump on him, but he says nothing. Other than joking around about Veritek catching his knuckleball, like that sort of stuff, the anecdotal stuff, is fine. But I mean, we played to the last couple final calls. It's like they have a loss and they immediately start talking about the one we just played did it. How about the one yesterday? Do you have the one yesterday, Jimmy, where they gave up 9 effing runs to the Cincinnati Reds, the middling, low-grade NL Central, small-market baseball team? They gave up 9 runs. They lost. They're in last place. And after the final out, they go on about how hard they fought.
1-2 home. Swing and a miss. He struck him out, and that ends it right there. One heck of a comeback. Red Sox get 5 in the ninth inning. They fall 1 shy.
Wow. I'll tell you what, yeah. That offense wasn't there for a while, but I just love how this offense battles back. Came up short, but a lot of fight.
They lost!
What the hell was that?
And one of your prize prospects can't hit his way out of a paper bag. Struck out to end the game with the tying run on third.
Wow.
And the first bit of commentary is how hard they fight and how many runs they scored.
I mean, with the inflection in their voices, you would think that the Red Sox won that.
Yeah, how was the tone there?
I'll tell you what, that offense wasn't there for a while, but I just love how this offense battles back. Came up short, but a lot of fight.
Celebratory. It's gotten so bad over there. I think it's taken a turn in the last year or two. Well, it's gotten even worse. It's gotten worse. So much worse. And without Eckersley, obviously, or Maz, or, Remy, or whatever it is, Savia, which is some plain talk, it's gotten so bad. That doesn't make me, but unlike Wayne, I don't watch or not watch a ball game based on the announcer.
Yeah, me neither.
All due respect, Maz. Like, if it sucks, it just sucks. If it's good, it's good. But I'm watching the ball game no matter what the announcers are. So
of course.
So I don't think that, all due respect to Wayne and Yarmouth, I don't think the milk toast that is up there in the booth has anything to do with their 0 point whatever ratings.
Yeah, I'm going to recuse myself from this conversation because no matter what I say, I get nasty emails. When I criticize the Red Sox now, I'm getting emails saying, well, you're criticizing them because they fired you. Apparently, this person didn't listen or read for 20 years before this, because all I've done my whole life is kick the crap out of the Red Sox, but that's neither here nor there.
We suck, but we'll make it sound fun.
So I'm going to recuse myself from any part of the conversation.
Long commercial-free.
Yeah, the Whistler, he's boring as hell this year, too.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more of Felger and Burge on the Sports Hub.
Is that news to be, could you guys are set up to, you know, bring a lot of the core back here?
Yeah.
Pretty well set for the future. Is what's the challenge there from the limitations that kind of put you guys on from a team building standpoint moving forward, and would it potentially force you guys into tougher decisions earlier?
Every team's going to have to make tough decisions. It's every year, right? But at the end of the day, you know, we love our foundation, we love our core, and that's really our focus and priority.
That was B-Rob in the closet there asking about the new CBA and the new aprons and, you know, the new ramifications of going way over the luxury tax. Is that going to impact how you build your team? And it's an obvious sort of way to get at the Jaylen Brown thing. Can you afford to sign Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to supermaxes and pay everybody? And that's what he was driving at. And the question there, you know, and the answer there is, again, back to the foundation and the core, and that's their priority. And I think they are just too in love with their foundation and their core. There's something a little off with the foundation and the core that's preventing them from going all the way. They're getting to this time where they're now have the experience. You can't say that they haven't had enough, you know, bites at the apple. They're now getting to that age, that experience level where you break through, and they're not breaking through. And I don't know if they have the guts and the balls to look at their own roster and their own group of players and say, there's something off here. We need to make a change. I don't think they have it in them. And I think that's another indication of it right there. They love their foundation and their core, and that's their priority. So if you ask me, everybody's back, Maz.
Feels that way.
And I think that's a mistake. All right, back to your calls. We've got Bob in Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Felger, you have a cut from Stevens today that said, you know, not every player can come back. You know, if they have a tough loss, they come to work the next day, and, you know, they're not every team has these players that are willing after a tough, you know, whatever, loss or this, that, and the other thing, that want to come back and they'll, you know, give it their all. I thought he was talking about Miami, not themselves, because it was the opposite of what he said was the opposite. The Miami has what everything he said. They don't have any of it.
So I don't know what they say after tough losses, but I don't know. What I hear here is just too much accentuating the positives and look at the big picture and step back and take a look at, you know, being in the mix. And we were only 48 minutes away. There's just too much of that. There's just too much of it. I think it's the wrong tone for this team at this time. Dave in Connecticut, what do you got for us?
Yeah, first thing they got to do is get rid of Coach Smart. They got to turn around and get themselves an established point guard. You may have to turn around and trade Brogdon, Rob Williams. Maybe Chris Paul gets bought out by Phoenix. You try to bring him in.
Okay. Thumbs up, thumbs down by the panel on Chris Paul.
Thumbs down.
Can I give you a flat hand?
Stu?
No. No on Chris Paul. No.
He's wired like a loser. They don't need more of that.
Right. So the only thing I agree with that. The only thing is I like the ball handling. They could use a ball handler. Like, you know, someone who can handle the ball under defensive pressure.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and I'm not as interested in the whole point two. Yeah, you got to get a true point guard. Like, I'm less interested in that as much as I am the ball handling, just someone that can protect the basketball.
I mean, as it is, you have big Chris Paul now, a guy with a million commercials that's never going to win. So let's add the real one. No thanks.
Yeah. And you're referring to who?
Tatum.
I know that. I wanted to hear you say
it. Oh, sorry.
So Tatum, you think Tatum is Chris Paul in the making?
Yeah, big Chris Paul. Well, look at all the commercials and all the stuff you do. You ever going to win? No.
His brother Cliff.
Lewis in Orange. Go ahead, Lewis. He's actually in one of those commercials, isn't he? Lewis, go ahead.
Yep. Hey, guys. So my takeaway from today is I think for an organization that prides itself on its history and stability, there's a sort of passive level of dysfunction that it exists there. Yet, it, like, they're mostly blind to it because it's just the same like-minded voices for far too long. There's no disruption. There's no outside voices. There's no edge. And, you know, Stevens today, he said that there's 60 people involved in basketball operations, right? I wonder how many of those 60 in the building are capable of doing what Udoka did in his introductory press conference. Remember when he set the tone and he was critical of the team's level of play with his boss sitting right next to him? There's an Alex Barth article on your website. If, like, skim through those quotes again when you can. You can get a kick out of how drastically different the messaging and tonality coming out of that was versus what we had today.
Okay, I'll take it a look. I'll give it a look. I mean, I know Udoka, I think on opening night, said we got punked.
He did.
He did, yeah.
You know, so like that's the famous sort of sign of that, that Udoka just provided more of an edge. They need more of an edge on the roster, in the front office, that in the heartbeat that courses through the halls in that building. They need more edge and toughness and accountability, and I don't get it from Stevens. I don't get it from Wick Grosbeck, but I don't expect the owner to, even though he reamed him out after game three in Miami. I totally get it. Wick feels the owner's there to support what's going on beneath him, make changes if you have to, but support who's down there, pay for what you have to pay for, and that, you know, that I guess that made that out of character for Wick to snap like that in Miami, but I'm not even expecting it from the owner. It's got to come from somebody. And if Udoka was able to do it, well, maybe I underestimated the role, you know, just what he gave them there. But still, at the end of the day, it still wasn't good enough. They still, you know, turtled at the very end against a mentally tougher team. Jim and Taunton on Marcus Smart. Yes, Jim.
There's only two things here that I can see. You guys keep on hopping on Marcus. And the thing I see, yeah, he takes a lot of shots. Granted, I understand that. Sometimes, not all the times, but either Tatum or Brown have the ball in their double team, and it's getting down there. They throw the ball to Marcus, and the shot clock's almost ready to go off. He's got to take that shot. Let's give him credit for shots that he has made. You got to remember the shots that he's kept the team in so the team could win the game.
Ah, now you sound like Brad Stevens. It doesn't matter that he missed the last one to lose the game. It's the three he hit earlier to keep us in the game. This is exactly how the Celtics are conditioned to think, and this is the problem.
So when the caller says you got to remember the ones that he made, which ones is he talking about?
I bet not even he remembers them. It's just sort of in abstract. And Marcus Smart did hit some threes. There's no doubt about it. But as Stevens said today, but it's just sort of the same thing. It said we responded incredibly well to adversity, and we did all postseason long, and so I know we have that in us, except for Game 7. Which is sort of like missing the point there, since the only thing that matters is Game 7. But that's sort of the mentality. Marcus Smart missed the last shot to lose the game, but he made some earlier. And that's how a Celtics fan goes to bed at night. It's amazing.
I don't think that, again, now I'm focused on the Smart part of it, because I want them to make some change, and asking for Brown to go is a big one. I mean, that, like, you know, I've been conflicted about that one all along. Smart should be easy. Do they really need Marcus Smart? They have Derek White. They have Brogdon. So they'll sacrifice a little defensively. But it feels to me like the coach doesn't value defense anyway. So why not trade him and go get yourself some sort of guy who can fire up threes?
All right, coming up next, take a breather from this. Give you some Patriots follow-up thoughts from yesterday's OTA and the coverage thereof. And basically what we're going to hit on is the family dynamics that are at play with the Patriots right now, and how that family may not have totally come together and patched things up like you would have thought or you would have hoped. We'll get to that right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.